You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're 2.5 season card holders at Ashton Gate. We love the club, the game and all things Bears. Well, it's the first time in 3 years that we have won away at Franklin's Gardens. Although after going 18-9 down early in the second half, it was great to see the boys dig themselves out of a hole and sow the seeds of victory with a penalty and a converted try before ultimately making Miles soil his pants at the death by efficiently managing the game out in the second half. We revel in this bonus point 33-27 victory and continue our strategy of involving our listeners in the pod by hearing from two roving fan reporters who sent us outside broadcasts from the game as well as a few posts. This result leaves us second in the table with 9 points, but we're not getting too carried away as it's early days and we still remember what happened last season after our good start. We also preview the visit of the Fancy Dan London boys from South West London with help from our good friends at the Harlequin podcast and finish off by discussing some of the issues raised by Steve Lansdowne in his Q&A last week, as well as anything else that we feel worthy of mention within the tight time frame that we have set ourselves. I'm Pete, and I'm joined by Lee and Miles for a cheeky beer and a bit of rugby banter. Well, lads, no pod pad this week, as we are all in different places on account of it being half term. So we've dusted off the Zoom account and gone online. I'm down in the New Forest with the kids, visit me old man. But Miles, where are you, fella, and what have you been up to?
Yeah, I'm in the second home in Topsham this weekend. Obviously, you and your family came and visited for the weekend, but have moved city, I think, haven't you? But yeah, it's been lovely, actually. Been on the top of Dartmoor today, trying not to get blown off some of the famous tours of Dartmoor. It's been a great day and down here for a family holiday.
Sorry, what was that, Miles? Trying not to get blown off?
The top of a rock. The wind.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. Absolutely. Fair enough. That's very good. And Lee, I mean, at least you're in Bristol, but you're on your own, aren't you? So tell me, have you taken the Christmas tree out of the box for a bit of company?
The Christmas tree, listeners will be pleased to know, is still in the box. But long-time listeners will be surprised that I've actually learned how to put Zoom onto my phone. And I'm broadcasting from sunny Bradley Stoke as we speak, ooh, boys.
Ooh. So basically none of us are at our BS3 spiritual homes at all. Oh, that's a shame. But anyway, well, we can only do what we can do, boys, can't we? We can only do what we can do. Right. So it was a great win at Saints, obviously. And but before we discuss it ourselves, I think we'll carry on with our little strategy that we introduced last week. I sent another tweet out on Saturday after the game, or Sunday morning, actually, asking people what they thought. And I thought I'd read a few more out. And then beyond that, boys, we've got something very exciting, as you know, that we actually commissioned an outside broadcast this week. We got two of our hardcore fans, listeners who were going to the game to send back some voice notes, and I put them, packaged it all in together. So we'll hear what they thought as well. But anyway, let's just have a quick look at some of the posts. Here's one from David Rogers, which is at DMK Rogers or DMCK Rogers. He said, was it me or did we step up our attack of the breakdown? I think in the second half, and actually have a decent jackal threat. Coupled with the aggression in the kicking game last weekend against Leicester, it seems we have had a big change in attitude. I likes it, he said. what else we got? We've also got Andrew Pearson, who is at Giant Oak 1970. Now, actually, I did meet Andrew at the Leicester's game, and I can clarify or confirm that he is a very large man, tall, that is. But anyway, Andrew has said, I was really worried about conceding early tries, but great commitment and fight. Bradbury is a huge unsung hero along the likes of Fitz and all the back row. Really pleased with the pack are functioning well too. Pleasantly surprised by our positive start to the season. Hashtag delighted, hashtag Bears. Very good, Andrew, the hashtags there. We also had, friend of ours that we've a long-standing listener, Joanne Hughes at Joanne. Well, it's quite a long Twitter handle, so I won't read it out. Franklin's Gardens is a good venue, great view from the terraces on the centre line, and very welcoming Saints fans. Recommended. Pretty good snacks, but drinks queues as bad as ours. with a like one of those emojis with the sheep with the teeth showing. Some great stuff out there. Firstly, the win. Heward did well. Nuisance all game. So that's from Joanne. That's brilliant. We'll have Bear Over the Bridge at Bear Over the Bridge. I thought we looked much more lively when O'Connor came on. He had a decent game. Decent. Callum played well, although he hit the post again. I don't know if you noticed that, boys.
He did, but, yeah, spotted that. Yeah.
But there's been a noticeable shift to pragmatic penalty kicks when we had the chance. Overall, thought the defence was better. However, our late drift style does make us look stretched at times. Oh, it sounds like Bear Over the Bridge is a bit of a rugby nose there. Miles, do you know what he meant by a late? Do you know what he meant by a late drift there, Miles? I'm not sure I do.
No, I don't.
That's a bit like your paddle board.
I was just going to say the same thing. It sounds like a paddleboard tech terminology to me.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like a fellow paddleboarder with his late drift. And then I think finally we'll go to another long-standing listener, someone who interacts with us a lot. That is Mark Johnson at Mark Johnson Home. Poor first 20, but rebuilt from there. Tactics sound, but kicked too long in first half. Harding was awesome as a player and a leader. Dunn also had a stormer, and Jake Woolmore has clearly found his third shredded wheat this season. What a display. So, boys, some very insightful comments from our listeners on both tactics, performances and snacks. So it's good to hear that. But before we get into it, we did say we have got this this special outside broadcast. We asked another listener, Nick Howell, who is actually an exiled Bear who lives up in Northampton, who was going to the game. And he actually gave us a little preview, a half-time summary and a post-match summary. So I've packaged that together. And then immediately after that, we have the full-time thoughts the full-time thoughts of another good friend of the pod, Debs from K-Town, and she tells us what she thought. So I think we'll have a listen to that now, boys. Here we go.
Hi chaps, Nick Howell here, Bristolian exiled in Northampton. I'm at today's game with three generations of Owls to see if we can build on last week's win over Tigers. On last week's pod, Tommy Vickers thought Saints matched up Saints' physicality really well last week and probably should have won. So, with home games being vital in a smaller league season, Saints will be desperate to win after last week's loss. Now, you boys all forecasted a high-scoring game, and Pat's been saying the same all week. So, with the weather dry, we're looking forward to some attacking rugby today. On the team's front, that debut for Vakatawa looks great, and us also the new popular away shirts first outing as well. With only a handful of changes from last week's team, it's really good to get some consistency. On the Saints side, we need to keep an eye out for that 10 to 13 axis of Smith, Hutchinson and Freeman. They're really good. And James Ram on the wing, who is a superb player under most people's radar. I like the cut of his jib. The bookies have Saints as winning by 5 points. So let's see how we go. Come on, Bruce.
Right then, lads. So half-time thoughts. Okay. Now, when we had the warm-up, it was right in front of us. And we've got to be saying, both me and the old man both said, we didn't look very intense in our warm-up. And that definitely carried into that first 5 minutes, where not only did we not get out of our half, but also we ended up giving away a relatively straightforward try on an overlap. Since then, obviously, Saints have found a couple of gaps and scored some tries. Plenty of kicking, which obviously the Saints have edged, because they've edged the possession and the territory stats. So that's worked well for them. We definitely finished the half better, which is really positive. Sheedy penalty, Bradbury got his second, and hopefully we can carry that into the second half and start much better. And to be honest, at a one-point game, I would have taken that off the first sort of 5-10 minutes. So really pleased with that. I'll tell you what was interesting that we saw. Pat kept Randall, Sheedy, Batley, Lane and Van Rensburg on the pitch for a chat before they went into the sheds. So really hoping he's giving them a little bit of a right axe, because I've got to be honest, we're not exactly looking like we're well up for this. So I'm hoping we come out in the second half a bit better. Vakatawa being injured, that could be a bit of a problem for us. But with a new Fijian lad coming back into us hopefully soon as well, that might not be too big a gap to fill, but not ideal losing him in the first sort of half an hour or so. Anyway, hopefully, boys, second half will be better. 1 point game in, two tries in. So let's be honest, if we come away with 2 points for a losing bonus point and four tries, that won't be the worst return. But Saints are definitely on it, and we've got a bit of an uphill task in the second half to sort of arm wrestle them out of the game. Right, on for the second half. Come on, Bruce.
Right then, lads. Full-time verdict. Yep. That is a victory beer being opened. So really, really pleased that we kept that intensity up at the end of the first half. Started the second really well. A bit unfortunate, a bit of a charge down kick, but then recovered and we went on to outscore them something like 25-5 before they got that kick at the end to sort of try and make it a bit of a six-point game for the last 5 minutes or so and a bit of a put us all on edge. Really, really good 50 minutes performance from the boys, to be honest, and it really puts us in good stead for the future. Worth always calling out all the forwards, I think, played well. All four of our tries came from forwards, all from close range. So really, really, really positive that we can, you know, flare in the backs, but also we can do the grunt work up front against teams and grind the game out like that. Really, really positive, like I said, and I think it puts us up in a good position now. 9 points out of 10 from the league, 2 games. Quinn's at home next weekend. Do love being Quinn, so I really hope we turn a nice another performance next week. But yeah, really pleased with the lads today. Did well, and I think, you know, came through in the end after what was a sticky sort of first 20 minutes, and then performed really well. So, really chuffed. Come on, Boris, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Oh, my goodness, what a win. They could have nicked it at the end. Hi, Pete, Deb here from K-Town. Yeah, really poor start. Didn't really get off the bus, to be fair. Don't get me wrong, they scored some great tries, really good hands. I felt our forwards were always on top, Bakatawa, excuse me if I said that wrong, bit of a nightmare, really. I'm not sure he's fit enough. Had a niggle literally within a few minutes of the game. When Pierce came on, he played really, really well, made a difference. Like I say, we hung on in the end, but we scrapped for everything, and it was really, really brilliant defence. There were shades of last season when I thought, oh God, we're going to lose it here now. Come on, Briz, you know. The fans, there was only a few of us, but we made our noise as we usually do. It's great. 3 years without a win here. We're enjoying it. Oh, the Briz!
Well, it's really nice of those two to send us that information. It's always good to get feet on the ground, as it were, because obviously none of us were able to go. And with the tweets as well, I mean, a lot of good points made. But, you know, Lee, you were watching it on PRTV, although I believe the first half it was a little bit, there was a few buffering issues, I understand. But what do you think? I mean, what are your general thoughts of the game?
Well, I don't think, because we've had so many comments, I don't know if we've got anything left to talk about now, fellas. There was some really good points made. I did feel like, I'm glad that Nick had mentioned this, because it did look a little bit flat when I saw them out on the pitch pre-game. And I was slightly worried because it didn't feel like it had a lot of fizz. Mm. I was quite concerned then, but actually it did take us a while to get going, didn't it? And I think those comments from Deb and Nick, I think were true. I thought actually the first 35 minutes was all Saints, really. But on the positive side of that, we did hang in there, and we never let Saints get away from us. And then obviously the turning point for me, from us, was the two tries either side of half time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point you make. And I think we can't kind of overestimate how difficult it is sometimes playing away from home. And I kind of think maybe a Saturday afternoon game is quite a difficult one for away teams. The Friday night lights and the fireworks and that sort of thing can often get away teams going. Well, not Ashton Gay with the fireworks, but you know what I mean? You know, I kind of get that feeling as well. A Saturday afternoon, you've kind of had an early night on a Friday. You probably had a little bit of breakfast, and there's quite a long wait. And I do wonder whether it is more difficult for away sides to get motivated in that first 20. And of course, when you're playing away from home, you've really got to make a good start. So, yeah, it was interesting. But you're right. I think what was really good about the game was the way that when the momentum went away with us, as it did in the first quarter and the sort of first quarter, and then the next bit of the second quarter, we found a way to get back into the game, especially when we were down to 14 men as well in that first half. So I think you're right. It was kind of nice to see us get out. Well, as I said in the introduction, at the Gardens, we dug ourselves out of a hole. But Miles, what about yourself? What did you think of that first half, say, particularly?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I watched the whole replay on PRTV with the Duchess last night. You know, not many teams go to Franklin's Gardens and just get a win at all. And I think one or only two teams managed it last season. And I seem to remember it was a very high scoring game last year, wasn't it? About 45, 37 or something. So we obviously tried to come back last season, but didn't make it. But I think Lee's absolutely right. When you've got the likes of Seabrook steaming down the line, scoring a try in what, 2 minutes and 13 minutes, opening up our defence, it was looking a little bit worrying. But, you know, that Bradbury dive over the line was encouraging. And then when you've got units like Pearson stomping over, he's a number seven, isn't it, 22 minutes, they were finding gaps in our defence. And really, you know, the forwards did a great job of coming back, but the first half was looking a bit worrying. So to get that, you know, I think Freeman scored again, didn't he, on 40 minutes, but to get that one immediately in the second half, I felt steadied the ship a little bit. And we can come on to talk about the second half. But yeah, I think it could have got away from us very quickly, that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it was a bit slow. I think, I mean, it was good that we got back. And that Bradbury try was really, really, really well worked, I thought. And it goes back to something we said last week about we're really obviously mixing up in the line out a little bit. We're not just going for the rolling ball every time when we're in the 22, and we're using the pace of Thax and offloading it. And I mean, it was a really well worked try, that. Yeah, Lee, what are you going to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to second that, actually. The thing that I liked about, I thought Bradbury was excellent, but the thing that I liked about that particular try was the fact that he'd actually run full pelt into three Saints players and just to spin like that and to ground the ball. It was a hell of a finish, and it was just what we needed just on half time. And we go in just a point down, don't we? But I did feel like, all right, some of the kicks were a bit long in the first half, but I did like the fact that we kicked the penalties. And apart from the one where obviously Sheeds hit the post again, but it was the game management. It felt a lot more professional. And we just hung in there, and ultimately, you know, we come out with the victory, didn't we? Because just of that kind of that grit and that determination.
Yeah, it's actually a really good point you make, because I'm just looking at my notes, and it was, yeah, we had a penalty, didn't we, in the quite towards the end, and we took the points, the 3 points,
yeah,
rather than go for the corner, which then got us, you know, I think we got back, you know, back into kind of, you know, we were, I think it was 18-11, and then we had another penalty, but rather than take the points, because it was right at the end of the half, we went long into the 22 and then subsequently scored from the line out. And it was, you know, in the past we might have gone long first and mucked it all up, and it was almost like getting those 3 points in guess gave the team a sort of confidence to get back up the other end. And yeah, you're right, I think there was I think things just like the kicking generally, Pat did allude to it after the game that, you know, we kicked quite a lot, and we kicked quite a lot last week, but it's kicking for purpose. And I really feel we're seeing that kick for purpose. It's either kind of trying to win the kicking challenge or the kicking duel. And we know we've got people like Rich Lane who's got a big boot on him. He's pushing it back into their 22. And then we've got, you know, we've got Rans with his box kicks and so on. And I feel like our chase is better as well. I think, you know, people like Heward, people like Bibitoy, people like Lane are chasing as well. But we're choosing the right time to do it. So you know, I think we love running rugby, but we love running rugby in the right places. And I think we're really, really starting to think about how to do that. Miles, you want to say something?
I mean, joking aside, we talked about a kicking game. I mean, that slightly disastrous attempted sort of kick from Van Rensburg that cost us a try. Maybe we'll just say, just run it, because you're hard as nails. And that just got deflected. You could argue it was a bit accidental, but it did lead to a safe try.
Do we count a grubber as the kicking game, or is that just part of the attacking move? Because Rensburg would probably argue, Miles, he'd say that he saw a massive amount of space because they'd rushed up on him, and that the obvious thing to do was to get it. But I think the point you make is a good one. Lee, what are you going to say?
Yeah, I just want to add to the fact that I thought that Callum Sheedy, you know, some of the little grubbers that he'd put through and just, you know, turn the Saints running backwards. And I just thought that was, it was really clever, and it wasn't overdone. It was just at those right times. And I thought that was a marked improvement from last season for me.
Brilliant.
I disagree a little bit, because from what I saw, I mean, it could be wrong. Most of the time, I felt that Shido had the same tactics as 2-3 and last year. You know, he was sort of chucking it back, quick back to the first receiver, who inevitably seemed a little bit deep. And I don't know that the fact that if we knew that Saints' rush defence or attack was so good that we'd try it that way. But I don't know. We then, which is a typical Bristol game, isn't it? We drift wide out to the wing. You know, and I guess you can't lie with the stats, can we? There were no backs tries this weekend, all tries from the forwards. And you could argue that their backs were pretty ineffective against Saints at the weekend, and the forwards did a great job. They stole the lineouts, they won scrum penalties. And I don't know. I don't know the reason why, you know, we didn't break the line.
I think, Miles, I might take your I disagree with Lee and throw I disagree with you back a bit. I think Sheedy had a pretty good game. I think Piers O'Connor might take issue with your backs being ineffective line there, because I thought when he came on, and also I think Vrimi Vakatawa might take issue with, well, what about that offload for the first try when I had three blokes tackling me?
Free flowing backs sort of rugby.
I think, you know, we're getting a bit, maybe that's just a symptom of how our expectations that we want to see Gibbetoy score hat tricks every week. But, you know, I think we have to remember it is a team game, isn't it? And actually they weren't just what I would consider boring grunt forward tries. They were quite well made ones as well. But yeah. Lee, you've got your finger up. Is it two fingers up at Miles there, or is it just one?
Just one. I just wanted to take umbrage on the fact that I actually thought Heward had a fantastic game again. And I take the point Miles is saying, go offensively. It might have seemed that he didn't contribute too much to the team. But I actually think defensively, he's been brilliant. And I think it was one of those games that, I mean, he's come on and he's just been, to use a Miles terminology, he's been solid. And I love that. Like, you know, Ibatoye, apart from obviously the deliberate knock on, I just thought that they were both good defensively. And it's not always about scoring the flashy tries in the corner. It's, you know, I think it's Northampton Saints, it's at Franklin's Gardens, and we need to defend. And we did.
Actually, on that note with the Ibatoye deliberate knock on, I don't know about you boys, but I didn't think it was. I thought it went backwards, and there was no discussion with the TMO and the ref at all about whether there was any debate about it being a knock on or not. And they were just debating whether there was a line break. And I thinking to that Estebeth, I think when South Africa played France, and he kind of, you know, and then they said, oh, that's gone backwards. And I thought that didn't seem much different. And there was no one said, are you sure that went backwards? Because when you look at it, it didn't, I wouldn't say it went forward. Anyway, it's an interesting debate, and it didn't matter in the end. And ironically, Ibatoye didn't just have 10 minutes in the bin. he had about 12 minutes in the bin, because one of the things that I suppose I did know, but I'd never thought about, was that when the 10 minutes is up, you've got to wait for a break in play to come back on. And when it had gone down to naught, we had like one of those rare moments in rugby where the ball just, nobody drops it, nobody gives away a penalty, nobody, you know, everybody keeps it in play. And it was just going on and on and on. And then finally they knocked on, and Harry Randall could have taken the scrum, and we could have got Ibatoye back on. And at the time, I think Vakatawa was getting medical attention. So we were down to 13 men. And it seemed, I was thinking, what the hell are they doing? Just, we need to stop this game. And then we kind of ran it and kicked it. And then I heard the ref go, knock on advantage over. And I was thinking, Ibatoye is still there. What's going on? Anyway, it was a kind of interesting little moment, because it wasn't a 10-minute sim bin. It was about 12 to 13 minutes. Anyway, boys, I think we covered some good stuff there, and along with our listeners as well. Just one or two other things I might throw at you, actually. One-off quick ones. So, Miles, here's a question for you. Should Vakatawa have started, given that he had a great offload for the Bradbury try? There was a missed tackle for the Seabrook try that looked like one of those ones he didn't get anywhere near. And then, of course, he was he really fit? And he went off injured on 34, but had quite a lot of treatment beforehand at that point when, you know, we were down 14. So do you think it was a bit risky starting him and he should have been benched, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You know, he came on a few minutes last week, didn't he? I feel a little bit sorry for Jimmy Williams, who's not put a foot wrong. And I understand we may have had him as a backup number 10. But yeah, to, you know, and Pat freely admitted, I think, in the post-match interview, he had a bit of a twinge, didn't he, at 30 minutes and wanted to stay on, but they immediately took him off. So yeah, the question is, if he had a minor twinge in the warm-up, what was it even doing on the pitch if he wasn't 100% fit? I mean,
there's an argument to say if you're going to start someone at home when they're kind of comfortable and they've had their time. But it didn't matter in the end, I suppose, did it? But,
no, not particularly. And you're right. He was looking fairly lively around the pitch. You know, apart from, you're right, a missed tackle which resulted in a try, that lovely twist and offload to Bradbury. Yeah, and he was looking quite good. I mean, a little bit like a sort of cuddly teddy bear, the Duchess likes to call him. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, maybe I would have brought him on, you know, the second.
If the Duchess calls him, if the Duchess calls him a cuddly teddy bear, what does she call you? Anyway, I think
it's Lee, a family show, fellas.
Absolutely.
Lee's got his hand up, Miles. Lee's got his hand up.
He might disagree, but I felt he shouldn't have started personally.
No, actually, I was going to agree with Miles in this instance. I just felt like, Vakatawa is going to be one of those players. I think as Bears supporters, we're going to absolutely love seeing him, but I think we need to love seeing him 100% fit. And I get the fact that, you know, he does need minutes through his legs, but I would have started him personally on the bench as well. And I just feel like Jimmy Williams should have started at centre. You know, it was a combination that worked against Tigers. And I think, you know, there's plenty of time where Vakatawa is going to get plenty of minutes. And like I say, we really need to wrap him up in cotton wool, really, because he's been, you know, over a year out with no rugby at all. So I just feel like, I think Pat realised, you know, it was lucky enough. I mean, it was just a tweak with the calf, wasn't it? So hopefully it won't be too bad. But I think Pat realised as soon as that happened, I think just pull him off, and he did the right thing. So yeah, I would have started with him on the bench as well.
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the only issue I think is that, for Williams, unfortunately, is that I think they probably see JVR, Yancey Van Rensburg, as an inside centre, and therefore Vakatawa and Piers O'Connor as outside. And as you say, Sheedy got the nod over Jimmy for fly half. So, and you know, to be honest, when Piers O'Connor came on in that second half, I thought he looked superb. And there's something else I wanted to say about him. He's got this, you know, his long, shaggy hair, he was kind of running. It was like watching, I don't know, well, Miles won't know about this, but you'll know what I'm talking about. It was like watching Mario Kempes for Argentina in the 1978. You know, this kind of languid style and his hair everywhere. And I thought he suddenly looked like a man, like a new man, and it was just slipping out of tackles, you know, and making yards. And I just thought, now this is like a new signing, Piers O'Connor. So I think we'll leave it at that. I think there was just two other things I wanted to say, actually, that weren't mentioned. I think we need to have a shout out for the front row, particularly Jake,
with
the full 80. And as they said on comms, has become a bit of a jackaler. I think someone else about jackal threat, and he did a great turnover in the second half that kind of cemented our win. And you know, he's on form, and that is great to hear, because we need him to be on form, because we're not going to see Genji for a while, are we? Because he's going to have his mandatory rest and so on. And we know that, you know, Nyan Thomas is out the picture, and we've got this new guy who's going to take time to come in. And then I think Max Lahiff again, you know, having had a back spasm last week, he came back strong, and that try scored with serious power. Power, the way that he kind of went through three blokes. And it looks like now he's got rid of his kind of bleached hair and all that, he just looks really focused. Because I think Pat has taken him to one side and said, "You're my man at the moment. You're my big man." Mm. And the way he's playing, I can't even see, you know, I can't see Sinks getting back in for a while either. So, and Kloska came on and did a good job as well. So, yeah, those are my two little points. Lee, you've got one more to make.
Yeah, just a quick one. I just want to say congrats to the moneymaker, Mr. Facker, again, because I don't know if you saw this stat because you've been away, but it was Harry's 50th try, and he's the first player to get 50 tries since the rebranding. So, you know, big congrats to Mr. Fax.
He is. He is a true bear. He's starting to look a bit like one as well, with all his hair everywhere, isn't it? So maybe next year's away kit will be modelled on Harry Thacker as not the Ursa bear, but the first bear. But yeah, nice point. And actually, it's just reminded me of someone else. I just wanted to mention Rich Lane, because I just think he looks so comfortable in that position. And I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. He looks Pia Tau-esque in a lot of what he does. Really good runner, massive boot, great in defense. And you know what I'm expecting? I mean, at the moment, he's got kind of pretty much number two all over. I'm expecting in the next few weeks for him to be growing the hair a little bit on the top, and then getting a bit of that, going down to Dan on Coronation Road and getting a proper side parting. So that he's kind of as close to Piatow, and then go into Pat and start negotiating his next contract and see if he can get a bit more money. But I've got to say, I just think he looks a fit Rich Lane in the kind of athletic sense is really good. Okay, boys. Well, I think we've done that. It's great to be able to talk about a good game again. It's so much easier, isn't it, when we've got so much positive stuff to talk about. Anyway, you're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating or a review, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, or get in touch via X at Bears Beyond Gate, or visit our Facebook page, which is Bears Beyond Gate, or even drop us an email at bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. Bearing in mind, we've all got full-time jobs, so may not reply straight away. That said, if you are young and trendy, you can also follow us on Instagram. But remember that it's Miles's project, so don't expect anything fancy too soon. However, I've got to say, boys, there has been some quite good posts on Instagram, including a couple of stories with music and the kind of text going across in a typewriter style. But that wasn't Miles. That wasn't Miles, because I decided to call in the inspectors, to call in Ofsted. Miles has been put into special measures, and they've parachuted in a specialist senior management team to the Instagram account, which is me. And I've now realized that what I've got to do is we may have gone too early, Lee, by giving him that project. The deep end. So I think I'm working on some sort of mentoring, personal development program for Miles. We don't want to expect too much from him. Okay.
Well, I was just too much, too young. That's sort of song case, isn't it?
I'd like to put a little caveat in. Whilst I was chauffeuring Sir Pete Brealey around down to Devon this weekend and driving, he had about 2 hours of nothing to do, fiddling around on social media. You know, clearly you're not allowed to keep your phone while driving. So, you know, let me off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, actually. That is a fair comment. You did afford me the time to be on my phone. It was all Bears Beyond the Gate business, to be fair.
It was personal absolutely stuff. No.
Okay, well, look, boys, we have got Harlequins visiting us next Saturday. It's a 2:30 kickoff on Saturday. We discussed that last week about what sort of game that will be in terms of attendance. But as is the way, I have managed to keep the PPP interviews going, and I managed to catch up with cousins Will and Mike Wood, who are two Woods and Four Quarters, or they are the Harlequins podcast. I actually spoke to them last night, quite late on, after they had just come back from watching Harlequins against Exeter and having won. And we had a really nice chat for about 10 minutes, and we can hear it now. So I'm really excited, like really excited, to be joined by both of the Harlequins podcast. That is cousins Will and Michael Wood, two Woods and four quarters, the Harlequins podcast. We didn't manage to really speak last season, guys, did we? Because we had recording issues. But it is great to talk to you because we've had a kind of a long-standing relationship over our kind of pod histories. And it's great to talk to you. So guys, I mean, I guess you're quite pleased because we're recording this on Sunday night after your victory today. And Will, I might come to you first of all and just say, you know, how was the game today? How would you summarise it for us Bristol fans listening?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having us back on, and hello to all the Bristol fans again. Good to be back on this podcast. I know you do an amazing job, Pete, and the team that you work with. This week was a good week for us. I think we felt a little bit robbed away at Gloucester last week. We went from scoring a try in the 80th minute and thinking we'd come away with a bonus point win to getting that overturned, a yellow card, and then conceding a try all in the space of about 2 minutes. So 5 points turned to one very quickly. Great to be back at home this week at the Stoop. Secured a win against a good Exeter outfit. I don't think anybody really knew what to expect from Exeter this season, but let's be honest, they pulled Saracen's pants down last week. So to have them up at our place and in the form that they're in was always going to be a bit of a challenge, and we're pleased to get the win. Disappointed to get three tries in the first half and not convert that to four in the second, but we'll take 4 points. We're on the board now. We've got our first win. I think we currently sit fifth or sixth in the table, which doesn't carry much weight at this stage in the season, but we're happy with where we are.
Just out of interest, I mean, what was your attendance like at
it's interesting. We've been very good the last 2 years. We've sold out pretty much every game. But you're right, today was a little bit quiet. There was quite a lot of empty seats. I don't know the exact number. I don't know if you do, Mike. I can only associate it with the World Cup going on at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, it wasn't a sellout, that's for sure.
So, Mike, I'm just taking a step back. I mean, how has the kind of Quins pre-season gone? I mean, it's been very extended for lots of us, and although we had the Prem Cup, I mean, it was really kind of, they were pre-season games. So how's it gone for Quins?
It's been a bit funny, and we shoehorned in an extra fixture against the Barbarians at home during our pre-season run, which we did last year due to the demise of Worcester and Wasps. But I think you're right, the pre-season has felt, do you know what, it's almost like we haven't really fully kept an eye on it. Because of what's been happening with the World Cup, it's like, well, that's the big sort of centrepiece of rugby at the minute. And we've been so focused on how England have been getting on and, you know, watching that. So the preseason sort of came and passed us by, not without, you know, any sort of major disinterest, but it's more been about for us getting guys some rugby. So we've obviously had three lads join from, you know, London Irish, you know, Joe Launchbury back into the squad. Will Porter has joined the squad. And the two Cardiff lads that have joined from Wales, Jared Evans and Dylan Lewis. So it's been more about getting to see some of those guys in the Quinn shirt. And then, you know, some of the guys that maybe just missed out on World Cup selection. So most of the pre-season has been based around what's been happening in France. So it's felt a little bit off and on, but it's felt good actually, especially today winning at home, to really get some Premiership rugby back under our belts, which was today was just so much fun being back.
And have you seen any kind of players emerge and make a real kind of stake a claim, I should say, for a first team slot, maybe players that maybe we haven't heard of so much at Bristol?
I think the big ones are the guys that have been really, really close or really, really been supporting our A graders. So the likes of Luke Northmore, for example, who unfortunately they picked up a little bit of an injury. You know, guys like, you know, obviously Caden Murley has unfortunately missed the first couple of weeks of the Premiership, but I think one of the big ones for us is Joe Launchbury. You know, everyone knows Joe Launchbury. Everyone knows what he's about, what sort of player he is. Having been away from the Premiership for a couple of years, seeing his impact today, went to full 80 minutes. The line-out was a big weakness of ours last year. We've got a new head coach as well, or, you know, head coach of the coaching panel, and it's all a bit of a funny, however they call it, but Danny Wilson's come in from Leicester and seems to have shored up our line out and is putting a lot of detail into our game.
Okay, cool. Well, Will, I mean,
obviously, we have a bit of a special relationship, our two clubs, because you came to Ashton Gate. And I'm going to talk about it because, you know, you have to keep talking about these things. It's talking therapy. Yeah. We were, you know, 28-0 up in the semi-final.
And say it again, Pete. Say it again.
It was christened, you know, it was Bristanbul. And it was a fantastic game. I was there. It was one of the great spectacles to be there. And I will say again, while I'm here, you know, the fans, your fans that day were super. Yeah. It's hung over us for a few years. But actually, last season at Ashton Gate, we came away 51-26 winners. And actually, I think not only, I remember on our podcast, we felt that was, you know, we had purged the pain of that semi-final. And we actually even couldn't really decide whether that was a walloping or was it a shellacking? So with that in mind, Will, the fact the last time you came to Ashton Gate, it didn't go your way. I mean, what do you predict will happen this Saturday?
I mean, I'd actually forgotten about that result. It must have not been as important as the one that we inflicted on you. I don't know what happened that year when we managed to get that win. Mike, do you remember?
I remember it so well.
Yeah. people's champions, to be fair.
I don't think we are anymore, unfortunately. Pete, we love Ashton Gate. It's a place we've always wanted to go. It's a proper rugby stadium. Your fans are absolutely brilliant, actually, and that they always bring the noise and the atmosphere. So it's one that's very much at the top of our list. I think our players enjoy playing there as well. It looks like a good track to play on, and the oppo is always quite good. So I think we'll come in with confidence off the back of our win. I know your boys are going to be purring off the back-to-back wins over Leicester and Northampton, respectively, and good wins as well.
Yeah.
We looked like a side against Gloucester that were clicking nicely, and it felt like we got dealt a few bad hands. And it's a shame that we're not sat here with back-to-back wins as well. So I wouldn't read too much into that defeat. I think we're going to see a great contest this weekend of two sides very much in form. And I'm confident we'll do the job. I think our pack is really flying at the moment. And we're missing a little bit of international quality, let's say, up front with Joe Marler. And obviously Jack Walker, albeit not that involved with England, is missing as well. But Finn Baxter, a very young English loosehead, looks like the real deal. And he had an awesome game against Exeter today. Good hands in the loose, very good scrummager, and made some really bone-shaking tackles as well.
Yeah, he did.
Sam Riley feels like he's cut from the same cloth as Harry Thacker. He's very quick, very nimble. England under-20s hooker, good with his hands, very good in the loose, and reasonably solid at the line-out as well. So our front row's looking good. Also, you're throwing King Collier in there as well, which, you know, the dummy try last season.
Two seasons ago,
but we haven't forgotten it. Our front row looks good. We've added Joe Launchbury into the second row. We've got the returning Dino Lamb that's just come back as well from Italy. And then I'm mega proud of the back row that we've got, a very young English back row in Kenningham, Will Evans and Dom Brandt, which I think can't be more than sort of 23, 24, 25 respectively. They get through an enormous amount of work for our side, and they often bring an awful amount of skill as well. So Dom Brandt, particularly man of the match this weekend, scored in the first minute of the first game of the season. He's got a point to prove. I think our pack is what's going to win us this game. Our backs are a little bit mix and match. We've lost Danny Kerr and Marcus Smith. Porter and Jared Evans have come in well. Two new halfbacks is always a little bit concerning because they've got to come in straight away and hit the ground running, but they've clicked pretty well. So let's see how they go away at Bristol, where if you were to target anybody, I imagine it would probably be 9 and 10, particularly Porter, who used to run out for your lads. And then our backs, Northmore, looked like he picked up a pretty significant injury this weekend. Either way, even if it's short-term, I doubt he'll be involved against your lot next weekend. So that might mean Lennox Anyanwu comes back in, who's a very strong, hard carrier, up against Van Rensburg, who is very much the same. Will Joseph, a new signing for us from London Irish, he's very much cut from the same cloth as Joe Marchant in the sense that he's very agile, quick, scored a couple of tries for us already and quite evasive. And then our back three is our back three. Tyrone Green hopefully still haunts you. Mm-hmm. Hasn't really hit the form that he had in 21 or even last year, actually, because of the big injury that he had. We've put him on the wing to try and play his way into form. Let's hope he can do that this weekend. I imagine he'll be on the wing again and Nick David will stay at fullback.
But him and Lewis Lyon both love scoring tries at Ashton Gate, so I've not got too many worries there.
It's a shame Caden Murley's injured, actually, because this is a really good opportunity for him to show the world that Steve Borthwick had made a mistake. And I think we all believed that anyway. And he is just a proven try scorer. But I think he enjoys playing at Ashton Gate as well. And it's a shame he won't be out there.
Yeah. So what's your prediction then, Will? That's what do you reckon, if you give us a score prediction?
We've not hit four tries yet. So no. I feel like this week's the week. It's got to be, hasn't it? We've had three in the first game, three in the second game. There's always tries at Ashton Gate for both sides. So I think this will be the week we get four. I don't even think it's a coin toss. I think it's going to be close. I'd give us a 60% chance of winning and Bristol the 40%. But yeah, I think we'll get four tries, maybe go for a score I'm going to pluck out of thin air, 31-23.
I genuinely thought you were about to say 42-38. Just that.
I don't know why we even asked these score predictions, because it's just totally random. But seeing as I've asked you, I better ask Mike as well. So what do you think?
Do you know what? I did a little bit of a shameless plug. I gave Radio 1 my prediction for the England game at the weekend. I wasn't actually a million miles off. I think you're right. We've scored three in the first 2 weeks. I think this is the week we'll get the bonus point try, although I do think you'll end up with scoring three. Bit of firepower in there, so it will be something along the lines of 20. No, we'll have a couple of penalties in there somewhere. 35-24.
Brilliant.
35-24. Like the Quins.
Well, time will tell, and we'll all know by the time of the World Cup final, won't we? So, what happens? So, it's great to talk to you, boys. Really appreciate you giving up your Sunday night for this, and definitely look forward to meeting up with you at some point.
At some point,
we'll make that happen. Yeah. Cheers, fellas.
Enjoy the rest of your half term, Pete.
Good luck. Cheers, Pete.
Okay, boys, so it's always nice to hear from those lads. They are very articulate. They're very passionate about their club. But I think also they're pretty fair and respectful. And I mean, we had a bit of banter about Bristol, as we always will. But, you know, I did obviously counter that by saying that I think we purged our kind of the pain of that semi-final last season by putting over 50 points on them and humiliating them. And I think we discussed it, you know, was it a walloping or was it a shellacking? It was hard to know. So what do you think, Lee? I mean, what's your general feel about Saturday now?
Yeah, I would say my optimism has gone up. As you said, I think it's... the performances have been different from this stage last season. And I also feel it's just that game management. That's the thing, the big thing for me. And I kind of feel like if we can keep on top of that, as well as employing the structure and the tactics that we set out to do from the off, a lot of teams last season, they kind of bullied us out of our own tactics, the way we wanted to perform, didn't they? And I just feel like with that Saints game at the weekend, I just feel like we just seem to have a bit more bounce back ability, to use one of the old phrases.
Ian Dowie's phrase, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Along with touch tight. Sorry, just got
I just feel that kind of stands us in good stead. If we can hang into games and just keep in there, you know, I am a lot more optimistic. And I do think it will be a high-scoring game as well.
So, Miles, obviously, Vakatau went off injured. But as far as I could see, apart from James Dunn having quite a bloody nose for most of the game, I'm not sure I saw any other injuries. So can you see any changes at all for the Harlequins game apart from Vakatau?
No, none whatsoever, to be honest with you. I mean, clearly he's out for a couple of games and we've chatted about his fitness and suitability to start. So, you know, we'll assume that Jimmy Williams is going to step right back in there and there'll be someone else on the bench. But, you know, the Quins boys did say their forwards are mobile and would front up. Well, so were we. We have the boys had a brilliant match at the weekend. They fronted up against Leicester and Saints. So I wouldn't change a thing. I think the backs are effective. They're playing at home. They love that surface down at Ashton Gate. Hope for some dry weather on Saturday, obviously. But there's no reason to change the team sheet at all.
I think the only thing I would say is I think Piers O'Connor will probably come in at 13. And I think poor old Jimmy Williams may well be understudy on the bench for Sheedy again, just because I think
Van Rensburg, I think they think he is a 12, and Williams is a better 12 than a 13. So it'll be interesting. I mean, personally, I think I take what you're saying. I personally think that O'Connor will start. I cannot see the back three changing: Ibitoy, Lane, Huard. And as I said, I think the front row did great. And as long as they didn't pick up any niggles, I think Jake and Max and Harry Thacker will be relishing the thought of coming up against some quite young Quins. And as I said, I've got to say, boys, James Dunn, every time I look at him, you know, he is a brilliant thoroughbred. I did say it last week. He's a Gold Cup winner. He's a thoroughbred. And you know, the more he plays and the more he has a partnership with someone like Batley, the more they play together, the better they're going to come. And I think there is this thing, you know, there is this thing about a team playing together consistently, getting to know each other, is really, really important. And I think I'd like to think that Pat will try and keep the group together. And I'm sure they've talked about it. Yes, Lee.
Yeah, and also I totally agree. I think he's been a revelation at lock. But also we have to remember that he can also play, you know, six as well. So, you know, it's the versatility that Pat likes is there, isn't it? You know, we've got a player who's covering, you know, can cover two or three positions, but he's been amazing in the second row. Really has been outstanding for me.
Yeah. And well, I think we will, as we always say, something to think about all week, and we will find out, no doubt, about midday on Friday, whether our predictions are right. Okay, so just a little couple of things to finish off with. One of the things that I thought was interesting that the Quins boys mentioned was the fact that they were a bit disappointed with their attendance yesterday. And that was something we picked up on in our first game. And, you know, they said that they normally sell out home games, and they did the end of the season, and they kind of put it down to maybe the World Cup and this sort of thing. But I don't know. I think potentially there is a little bit of an issue here. And I know, Lee, you wrote a really good article in the Bristol Post today, where you kind of raised this question of the kind of product that fans should expect to have, and that, you know, in the context of the RFU kind of governance being a bit dodgy, but also in the context of rising costs and the cost of living crisis. And I think it kind of rang true with quite a lot of what Steve Lansdowne said, because that has now been reported in the press, some of the things, and he was pretty withering about how rugby needs to get its act together. So I thought I'd throw it over to you, Lee, and give us a few more of your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the reason for me writing this article, because it's very close to my heart, because obviously this season, you know, I've forsaken my season card for, you know, I've had to make some hard choices money-wise, and, you know, the season card had to go for this year. And, you know, it kind of led me to thinking more about the general state of the game. And we know the attendances have been down, and it just makes me feel like the craziness of it, really. You know, we've started the season whilst all the best players and, you know, playing away in France at the World Cup. So we're not seeing benefit of our top quality signings. We're paying more money for less competitive games. And now we've had the Premiership Cup, which is, you know, ultimately a pre-season warm-up, isn't it, tournament? But we're paying more money for less games, and it just kind of feels that the whole structure, I mean, you know, if we can't get bums on seats, then the game that we all love is just going to fall apart. And, you know, basically the article, I don't know, you know, if anyone's had time to read it today, but it is online now. And, you know, it's basically kind of going through, you know, a few of the suggestions that have been muted. And I just kind of feel like we're at that point now. This is breaking point for rugby union. And we need to maximize everything we can get. We need to reinvent the game. We need to get bums on seats, full houses back in to stadiums. And I mean, one of the things for me is just the cost. I think there was a Leicester Tigers fan that had been quoted something like 59 quid, 60 quid for, you know, an open-end ticket at the Rec, I'm sure it was. And you just think, in the current climate, people need to save their pennies. And it just feels like we need to have a massive shake-up to get people back into grounds.
I mean, Miles, money's not an object to you. So you know, as the Duke, you know, you obviously could just dip into various trust funds to and, you know, I've heard you even say that £6.50 for a Thatcher's, what a bargain. But joking aside, I mean, I think that the club has actually made a big effort this season, I think, for engaging fans. And I don't think this is, we're not criticising individual clubs, because I think they're under massive pressure. And it's more of a kind of structural thing. But you know, what are your thoughts? Do you think, what can clubs like Bristol do more to get more people to turn up?
Well, we have commended. I mean, you know, and questions were put to Steve Lansdowne. And I, you know, I think we've got his back, because one of the, you know, you can't just assume he's a rich owner and money doesn't matter. Results matter. And ultimately, last couple of seasons, they haven't happened. And perhaps that's the reason why there are less bums on the seats down at Ashton Gate. But you look at the attendance yesterday, I agree with the Quins boys, only 10,000 something, I think, for a home game against a big side like Chiefs. So this Saturday, these are two top Premiership sides, Bristol versus Quins. Amazingly exciting brand of rugby they're bringing to Ashton Gate on Saturday. And I agree with you, boys. I'm a little bit worried about the crowd size again. And, you know, joking aside, sitting in the mid-Dolman stand where we are, surrounded by some fantastic supporters, but visiting fans paying up to £59 to sit on a plastic seat. I'm sorry, but it's, I think, you know, it's cloud cuckoo land. We want bums on seats. We want pints drunk and people enjoying rugby. It felt like, you know, going harping back years ago, going back to the men, that rugby shouldn't have been an expensive sport to go and watch. And it ultimately has been, you could argue, Premier salary cap going up. But it's worrying times and something has got to change. I can't, you know, say what should change, but engagement with fans, exciting style of rugby, and ultimately cost-effective games is a starter.
Well, I know that this Saturday it's a quid a kid promotion. So at least one thing, Miles, I'm sure they'll be giving away some flags. I'm sure you could nick one off some 12-year-old to put to your flag mate. Collection. But no, I think boys, it's an ongoing discussion. I don't think we need to say much more about it. But obviously, if people have views on this, and specifically in relation to the Bears, then we'll be really, really interested to hear. But boys, I mean, that was quite a bit of serious stuff there, lads, wasn't it? And you know, sometimes we have to delve into serious stuff, but I think we need to finish on an even more serious thing, which was what was the result of the annual Bears Beyond the Gate paddleboard derby? Miles has had his hand on, we have christened, the Kingsbridge Cup, because it takes place down in the Kingsbridge estuary. The last two times out, Miles has managed to beat me and relatively handsomely, I've got to say. He's had his sweaty paws on that cup for 2 years. But, Lee, I feel like you need to ask the question here.
Well, I want to know as well, because, I mean, I swear there's people that haven't gone into work today because they've been thinking about the result of this. I mean, you call it the Kingsbridge Cup, yeah? I mean, yeah. I did put it out there. It was, what was it? The Pratt's paddleboarding trophy or something. But boys, I mean,
6K into the wind yesterday is not for Pratt's. That is for athletes.
Absolutely.
It's for Ironmen. I tell you what, my shoulders are absolutely killing me. But the reason my shoulders are killing me, Miles, is why? Tell us.
Well, Lee was saying, obviously, fans have probably not gone into work in anticipation. Pete and I haven't gone into work because our bodies are Roger today. My back's in pieces, my triceps. I couldn't even lift my children's juice this morning. However, there were learnings from yesterday. We talked about things, but ultimately, Pete Greeley took the prize, third time of asking. Yeah, the wind, it just got to me. I couldn't cope with it. and the boy stormed to a lead, and there was no catching up. So no. Well done, Pete. I mean, I hang my head in shame walking around the street yesterday to hand over the prize to Peter Greenlee.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was. I had a game plan, and I executed it to absolute perfection. It was super. The game plan was power out, get a lead, and then manage the game out. And that's exactly what I did. And I broke him. Miles was a broken man. But, you know, it means that now I don't have the underdog status. So next year I'm going to have to really think about it. So on that note, I think people are bored of it listening to it now. It's been a great week. We're looking forward to another great game at the gate. So I think that's it for now. So stay safe. And Lee?
Come on, Briz.